Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Can I just say that you guys look amazing today, even the ones that have sniffly noses. Rudolph, with your nose so bright, Santa's looking for you to guide his sleigh tonight. I'm just kidding. I thought the patrolman was in our bedroom this morning when I woke up, and I looked over, and it was a bright red light, and I thought it was a red light, but it was actually my wife's nose. This morning, she is not with us, and I feel lost without her. No, I'm not saying all this because it's going to be on podcast, and she's listening to it at a later date, trying to win brownie points. How many knows when you are supposed to be connected to something and you're not connected? Boy, that's just a message right there. When you're supposed to be connected to something and you're not connected to it, you feel lost. Amen. So anyway, you guys look incredible today and amazing. Ansley, you're beautiful today as well. But it is, it's really cool. I had a surprise. It's really an honor to have Mike and Melanie, Pastor Mike and Melanie with us this morning. It's just so weird how everything kind of worked out because I was up studying late, I think Friday, no, what night was it? Friday night that I got the text? And said, "Hey, what's your schedule like this weekend? Are you slam packed?" And I was like, "No, what's up?" You know, thinking like, "Yes, maybe." And he was like, "Hey, I think we're going to come down this weekend." It all kind of worked out because Robin and Brittany had made a quick trip to North Carolina just for 24 hours, I guess. And so Melanie was able to be on the platform this morning in worship. So y'all give it up for one of my best friends in the world, Pastor Michael C. And Melanie and Aaron Michael, we're honored that you guys are here this morning. But I'm sure that, pretty sure that everyone in the room this morning, how many are ready for the word, by the way? Are you ready for the word? I'm pretty sure that everybody in the room at some point, either as a child or even as an adult, you knew something was getting ready to happen, you were getting ready to do something, and that oh my gosh, I can't sleep took over. Ever been there? For me, it was Six Flags the night before. I would be staying at a friend's house, and we were just like, we're going to, and then we're going to, and the parents from the other room, not my parents, but other parents and the from the people that I was staying with, you know, y'all go to sleep. I'm like, we don't want to go to sleep. Your parents are horrible. My parents will let us stay up, you know. So for me, it was Six Flags. For you here in the great state of Florida, it may have been Disney World. I don't know, you may have had a planned vacation, you were getting ready to go somewhere you've never been before, and how many knows when you're getting ready to go a place you've never been before, that's kind of, the anticipation is like really, really high, right? Maybe it was a promotion on your job, or even the excitement of a first date. Oh, okay, some of y'all are just going to act real holy. We didn't date. We just believed God that he would send the spouse to us. No, it was fun, and things happened, and I was holding hands and stuff. Thank you, Jesus. And but that's kind of how it's been for the past 2 weeks at preparing this message. And somebody said, "Man, if you've been preparing for 2 weeks, brother, you better bring the heat today." Well, let me just tell you, no, it didn't work that way. I wasn't preparing for 2 weeks. How many knows that when a woman conceives, it's not conception and in birth? How many knows that? There's actually a process of something that goes through, right? Some of you say, "Man, I wish it would be like that," but no, there's things that take place. And it was kind of how it was for me with this message, because Dad had called me or texted me several weeks ago saying, "Hey, shoot me the dates that you want to speak," or whatever. And I'm not quick to just jump on the gun and say, you know, pull the trigger and say, "Hey, I'll preach these dates, because I just really didn't have anything that I felt like God wanted to say. So I was really waiting on God. That's a pretty good thing that we should do. I was really waiting on him. So once I figured out the direction of what he wanted to do, I texted Dad back and said, "Hey, I got it." And so over the past few weeks, Dad has been talking about vision. And under the direction of the Holy Spirit, he's been steering us towards towards vision. And it's so funny that Adam shared one word, which in just a moment, not yet, Josh, but in a moment you'll see the title of the message that I have been keeping under wraps for the past 7 days of where we're going. But it's one thing to hear other people talk about vision, but it's another to actually connect with, become invested in, and become committed to the vision. There's a big difference. So as I was getting ready a couple weeks ago, I was like, you know, not really knowing what to do. And it was like God showed me this. He said, we put so much of an emphasis on vision, but the power doesn't lie within the vision. The power lies with what's behind the vision. Okay, you're going to understand what I'm saying in just a minute. We put such an emphasis on vision. Vision is simply a bridge, and I'm totally jumping way into my notes. Vision is simply a bridge that takes us from where we are presently to our future. Vision is nothing more than a bridge, but we put such an emphasis on vision, and vision is important. Okay, somebody said, man, are you knocking your dad's mess? No. I'm not knocking. What I'm telling you is the emphasis, we put such an emphasis on vision, but really the power isn't within the vision. The power is what's behind the vision. Now, if I was able to, you had to just overlook those moments. Sometimes it just hits me. But if I was to take and this is really gross, but if I was to like open up the side of my face and show you my eyeballs and you would see the vision, that is what's allowing me to see ahead of me, but the power isn't within what I'm seeing or what's actually seeing that thing. The power relies what's behind the vision. See, I can see in front of me, but unless I have the power and equipment to get me there, how many knows it's your brain that has the power to get you to a place? Because your brain, I'm sorry, it's all falling apart. It was just starting to dissolve, and that would have been really nasty. It's your brain that gets you to from one place where you are to another place. So the power isn't within the vision. The power lies with what's behind the vision. Vision, as we know, is very important. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no revelation, knowledge, or vision, the people cast off restraint. Somebody says, what's restraint? Restraint is something that holds you back, something that keeps you from losing your mind, that keeps you from doing things. So if you have no vision, then basically you've lost your mind. You have no, I said this a few weeks ago, vision is what holds your marriage together. Vision is what keeps you from jumping in the backseat of someone else's car or the bedroom of someone else that's not your spouse. Vision, if you have vision, if you have a direction of where you're going, that prevents you from doing things you're not supposed to be doing. Vision will also, for students, will also give you the tenacity and the discipline in your education to get your education and then one day move and get a higher education. It's called vision. What is that? It means there's a place that I'm going. And there's a place that we're going today. P.K. Barnard said this, and I quote, "A man without a vision," it may be on the screen for those that want to write this down, "a man without a vision is a man without a future." That wasn't very too enlightening. Of course, you would figure that out. But a man without a future will always return to his past. Why? Because familiarity breeds content. I know men and women who have been great men of God, done awesome things for God, but they went back to their past because they lost vision. See, vision will always point you in the direction forward, never backwards. But he said that morning as I was getting ready, he said, the power is not in the vision, but what's behind the vision. Simple breakdown. I can see with my natural eye what's in front of me, but it takes my brain to cause my motor skills and the rest of my body to line up and get from where I am to where I need to be going. Are you here this morning? Vision is strictly, listen, vision is the bridge that takes you from where you presently are to where you're going. If you don't have a vision, you need to get one, because you don't want to go to your past and you don't want to go back to things that you were once a part of. How many are thankful that you've been set free from your past? Let me explain it this way. Did you know that the first image to hit your retina, your eyes, is actually inverted and upside down? Did you know that? And I knew that, but I wanted to do some research just so I could make sure that I communicated this specifically. And it said this: it is true that images formed on your retina are upside down. It is also true that most people have two eyes, therefore two retinas. Why then don't we see two distinct images? If you've got two separate eyeballs, that if I cover this one, it sees one thing. If I cover this one, it sees one thing. How come I'm not seeing two of you? Are you seeing two of me today? My wife is like, no, I can only handle one of you. Aren't you glad that the power behind your vision consolidates it to one? One thing. And it also flips it right side up. I'm not standing on my head today, am I? No. It's the power behind the vision. Processing visual information is a complex task. It takes up a relatively large portion of our brains compared to other senses. This is because your brain performs several tasks to make images easier to see. It's the power behind the vision. Today I want to speak to you from a subject entitled Availability, Getting Behind the Vision. Availability, getting behind the vision. If you've been here over the past few months, you've heard Pastor Dennis say, and you can really sense the common thread that is being woven within and around our church and its vision. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. If you did not bring your sword with you today, it should be like your American Express card. Don't leave home without it. We have graciously provided glowing Bible on the wall. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. This is probably one of the most unique messages that I've ever preached before. And when he gave it to me, I have to make sure that I'm communicating in a way that is full of love, grace, and mercy, because I'm just going to be quite frank with you today. There was a sense of urgency when I felt the Holy Spirit say, it's the power not in the vision, but what's behind the vision. If you don't have power in a vision, all you have is a daydream, and nothing will be fulfilled. It's the power behind the vision. This is the Message translation. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says this: I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out to Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Have we heard that this morning? So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. I love that. That way that was communicated. If any of us here today have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, may God clear your blurred vision. You will see it. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for this same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. You know, if you also wonder, sometimes when people tune out when they get titles to messages and they wonder, it's because they don't want to. If you ever wonder why the pastor preaches the same message or he goes to the same text, you're wondering why you're having to continue to go over the same issues, because you haven't learned the first time. If you're tired of hearing the word vision, or if you're tired of God constantly trying to get you to a place over the same thing over and over and over and over, how many like your parents just tell you, stop, don't do that, I've told you this before, don't do that? Why do they keep? Because we haven't learned. Oh, me. All they want is easy street. They hate Christ's cross. But easy street is a dead street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise, and they think of, and all they can think of is their appetites. It's the power behind the vision. Listen, Paul had something to live for, yes, but he lived today He lived in the today, aiming for something in his future. We can't be so narrow-minded of all we're looking about is what God is going to do in the future that we miss what he's got for us right now, because he's equipping you in the now for what he has for you in the future. The reason you have the test today is so that you can pass a greater test tomorrow. Somebody say greater test. The vision for this house is greater than you and I can ever imagine. As a pastor in the house, God has allowed me to see exactly what he's going to do. And I must admit, in those moments, it's been very overwhelming and humbling. The responsibility, the accountability that is obviously required to get us to a place that God wants for us. Why is it overwhelming? Because we begin to evaluate where we are, where I am in light of where God's taking us. And the only word that I can sometimes ask God when he shows me that full big picture is, how in the world is that going to happen? Some of you have personal visions and things that accomplishments, things that God has put inside of you. And if you be honest, you go, God, there's no way that could happen. Not by your skill, not by the way you're going to see it done. No. His word says, he says, my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts of you are much greater than your thoughts. It's time for us to have the mind of Christ. Again, it's the power behind the vision, not necessarily the vision itself. How many Christians today are truly pressing in, like Paul? How many Christians are truly pressing in? How many churches are filled with people who are truly running after the prize of the high calling? How many of us today are truly pressing, allowing ourselves to be pressed? How many of us can truly say, yes, I am available? How many of us can truly say, yes, I am available? Something that I'm learning is this. In pursuing God's vision, we can no longer look at where we've been or what we've done or where we are, but instead where we're going. The enemy would love to keep you reminded of where you've been, what you've done, and where you are, and never looking. If you're bored this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to leave now. Because what I've got to say is very important. Somebody said, boy, that was cocky and arrogant. I'm just telling you. If it's taking up your time, you may leave. But what God has to say to you today is life or death. And to show you that that's not me. That scared the crap out of me. I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is life or death for you, your home, your children, your finances, and for this ministry. The reason I know that is because I'm shaking on the inside. I'm going, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. And people are thinking, oh my God, I heard he thought he was something. He's cocky and arrogant. Man, that thought can go to hell, because that's exactly where it came from. Most Christians are living in a stall-out mode. You've seen those people on the side of the road. If you've been like me, I've either ran out of gas or I've had a flat tire. Sometimes, you know, everybody's just flying by, but everything where you are is almost stopped. It's called stall-out mode. Everything in life is just people are passing by, but you're in stall-out mode. How many here today could honestly say within yourself, I may be in a stall-out mode? We'd rather be in stall-out mode and just hang out where we are than to actually put forth the effort to get where we're supposed to be going. It's a funny thing about putting forth the effort. We're quick to put forth the effort in areas that we're invested in or things that we want. We'll put forth an effort on things we want, a.k.a. dating relationships. You'll do stupid stuff like you'll begin to watch shows that you really don't want to see but she wants to watch. Somebody said, oh my goodness, he's taking his brownie points away because she ain't here. You'll go out and stand in the cold for stupid stuff. Shopping. Black Friday's coming up. How many know what I'm talking about? You'll do those things because it's connected to something that you're invested in or that something that you want. Because she is so beautiful to me. trying to earn the brownie points back. See, I'll do it because there's an investment and there's something that it'll even cause you to get up an hour early when you're both working at the same company years ago, and you'll go to Burger King and you'll get that hot ham and cheese croissant, whatever part of the country you live by and how you want to say it, croissant. And the medium coffee, you'll go do that and deliver it to her office before you go on to your own. Why? Because there's something that you want. When you're available for something, you will do everything in your power to show I'm available to you. I mean, when you're in the dating relationship, you'll find yourselves in parties being the loudest in the party. Why? Because you want to draw the attention to yourself to let everybody in the room who may be available that you're available. It's a funny thing about availability. If it's something that we want, we'll become available quickly. But if we have no interest in it, I'm not available. God's looking for availability. He's not looking for your ability. Well, God, I just don't know if I can do the things that they're... He's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. You missed a good time to clap your hands and say, God, yes, I believe that right there for my life. Are you available this morning? Now, I'm not talking about that you had your schedule was free and that you had nowhere else to be, so you decided to show up today. I'm not talking about that availability. I'm saying, are you truly available to God? Let me just turn the heat up on that section of the stove and begin to stir that one just a little bit, okay? Are you ready? If you feel connected here, and if this place is where God has led you to Forward Church, if this is your home church, let me ask you, are you making yourself available to help pursue the vision that God has called for this house? Listen, I get it. There are times that we're unwilling to be available because we lack the vision for our own personal lives. We don't want to be excited for what God's doing for your life because we need God to do something for us. Let me break it down this way. Most of y'all know I detail cars on the side. If you need your car detail, please let me know. I'll be happy to do it. Anyway, just a little plug right there. It's kind of like this. If I haven't had a chance to wash my ride, and I got to show up at your house and leave my car at your house so that I can go make yours look prettier. Let me tell you, this is what happens when I go to my house. I'm so frustrated once I get back to my house because I'm working on your car, knowing that my car is at your house looking all jacked up. It's true. It's called selfishness. How do I want to help you? Now, there's a reward. There is a reward. I get paid for that. There's a reward. But it frustrates me knowing that I'm putting forth an effort to make your car look good when mine looks like crap. We do the same thing. No, we don't want to help nobody. We don't want to help the church. We don't want to get involved because we got too much going on in ourselves. But if you would take the moment to invest in someone else, there is a reward. And God sets the price tag. Another opportunity to clap right there. I'm telling you what, when God sets the price tag, there's no limit to what he can do. Almost there. So Pastor Dennis, for the past 4 weeks on vision, and some of you tuned him out because you didn't want to hear that because you're looking for God to do something in your own life. And some of you actually skipped the next couple weeks thinking, okay, I'll just give him time to get through that vision. Little did you know you got set up because you thought he ended the vision last week, but there actually God had more news for you. It's not necessarily about the vision of the church. God wants to move you to a place where you go after the vision he has for you, because the vision he has for you will line you up for the vision he has for the church. It's all about alignment. If all you're worried about is yourself, you're just going to sit there and it's almost like he's just hitting replay. It's time to move on to something else. It's time for God's people to get connected to the vision. Because when you begin to help what God wants to do, he's going to then help. It's always God first. Listen, God has more in store for you, yes. For your family, yes. Does God want to enlarge your pocketbook? Yes. But he's trying to get you to a place where he can do that, where he can trust you. His thoughts are greater and his ways are much higher, much higher. I remember being on vacation and I started reading this book, by Stephen Furtick on greater. And I remember reading a line in this book that completely changed my life and the way that I've been in ministry and saw things all my life. But it totally changed the way, the reason that I do the things that I do now is because I truly understand. This is what I read. He said, most believers aren't in imminent danger of ruining their lives. They're facing something far greater, wasting them. And man, that hit me. I was like, you know what? I can do great things, but if I'm not doing it for the reason that he wants them done, I'm wasting God's time and I'm wasting mine. So we need to be so consumed with not wasting time. Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. God is wanting to, if you're feeling pressed, pushed, and possibly off today, it's because God is trying to ring your bell to let you know enough of you, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It's time for you to stand up, get connected, and become the power behind the vision so the vision can move forward. I can't believe he said it. The things that God did to grab people's attention probably, matter of fact, I know it did. It jacked up, messed up, and ticked off the religious people. But that's another message. So we ask ourselves the question today, am I available? Am I available? I'm hearing all the things that God's going to do through Forward Church and how he's going to flip the poverty level of Chiefland. Let me tell you something. I knew years ago when Dad kept saying, y'all move to Chiefland. I hear the vision and I hear what you're saying, but there's no way that that's going to happen in Chiefland. There's things that have already happened within this ministry and things that God's allowed to happen that we didn't think was going to happen. But he did it. Because a few people got behind the vision and became the power to make it mobile. But, and somebody said, well, yeah, and it's doing pretty good. Walls have come down. We've now taken over. But this isn't it. This isn't it. God's promised 20 acres. God has promised us a facility I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, that's going to hold anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 people.
Come on.
I'm trying to be very careful with what I say, but see, I understand how people's minds are. They can't believe it unless they see it. We don't want to step forward unless I can see the direction of where I'm going. But see, the way it's going to be mapped out is we are going to fill this room. We're going to get about 450 people in this room, and then we're going to run double services. And if you do the math, 450 and 450 is about 900. Well, by then, it's going to be time to move. God's going to bring the resources in to purchase the land so that we can have a fall festival and we don't have people telling us it's going to be a liability. Okay, anyway, so because no man can stop it when God is in it. It's not over when God is in it. So then we're going to move out of this room into a facility. Somebody said, well then why can't it just be 1,000 people? Because why would we move into a building maximizing the capacity that we've left this room only to go into another building program?
That's right.
So why not say, you know what, there's churches all around, but they're not full. There are churches all around Levy County in this area and the town's connected, but they're not full. We don't want those people. We want the people that aren't there or the people that showed up and we messed up because we didn't present the gospel in a way that he wanted it presented and then they got offended and left. So the vision is bigger than what you think. But you need to know where we're going. But it's not going to happen with a pastoral staff. It's going to happen with you. Let me show you how easy it is. If we work together at the sheriff's department and I'm packing and you're packing and it's the end of the day and I just go, I'm not talking about sharing tracks and there's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. It's all about just doing life with people and saying, hey, man, you want to come to church with me? No? Okay, that's cool. I'll be back to you. I'm going to check with you again. Don't present a religious. It's like, well, how do I invite people? I see y'all in the church and who you bring into church. But if you're not doing it, who is? If you're not becoming available, can we just be honest? If you're not becoming available to say, hey, you wanna come to church with me? It'd be good. Cool music. Cool pastor. Whatever you got to say. Well, that sounds like you're trying to direct. Whatever you got to do, just be real. Don't nobody want no religious junk. They want a relationship. And ministry is relational. If you'll be their friend and they see how you're doing things, then you'll make a difference and you'll make an impact. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is making a difference and making an impact. And we do that through availability. If you go back to the podcast messages just from January, because if you want to get a heartbeat of what, because if all you're doing is coming in here, listen, Chieflin has done it in the churches in the area, and we've done it for years. We just come in, we get a little message, we go home, we eat our crock pot, we turn on the TV, and we start our week again. But if we're not, God, what do you want? What do you want? Let's just look. Just maybe. Ding, 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 ding. What does he want? One of the first messages that I preached was flipping the script. What does that mean? That means whatever church looks like to people in the community, we're going to flip that upside down. The next one I said was that he had me, led me to preach, was where you at and what you doing? It doesn't get more honest than that. What are you doing and where are you at? It's almost like I'm wondering, did we get the message? Did we get it? Where you at and what you doing? And then Dad preached one, the dangers of drifting. Why'd that come into play? Because when people forget about where they're at and what they're supposed to be doing, they're drifting. So then we're going to talk about the dangers of drifting. And then the next one, the next opportunity I had, he said, are you still here? Are we not getting it? Why we keep coming back? Why are you still here? You haven't moved yet. He's trying to get you to move. I'm telling you, it's life or death. Some of you may not be back. That's okay. Somebody of the 1,500 needs your seat anyway. Because I'm believing for lost people. And when you look beside you and you've got a place that should have been for somebody else, you should feel the responsibility of why that seat's not full. Well, God's going to draw them. Sure, he's going to draw them, but they need to see Christ in you every day. That's what draws them. Man, this is a hard message. Yeah. And then we talked about leaving normal behind and getting weird. Then Dad preached a message on steps to revival. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to flip the script? Do we have what it takes? My grandmother came in and spoke on hearing God's voice. And then we're right here now in vision. So if you want to know what the thread and the grafting is that's coming around this thing and why you're feeling pressed, because let me tell you, the ladies know that before they gave birth to something, there was some pressing that was going on. And there was some words that you won't find in the Bible going between the wife and the husband that put her in that position. How many know what I'm saying? And just like some of you are feeling the press from a little skinny bald guy who's saying, man, if I could stand up in church and tell you something right now, it's because you're being pressed. Because he's trying to impregnate you. What's it going to cost me, preacher? Everything. Everything. It's going to require selfless acts. It's going to require your time. It's going to require your resources. Pastor, you have me up until that point right there. It's going to require your prayers. It's going to require your continued participation, not when it's convenient for you. It's going to require you to be uncomfortable. It's going to require you to meet new people. Oh, my God, I don't. 1,500 people, I like my 50. I like my 200. It's going to require you to serve. It's going to require you to swerve and serve. Swerve, what are you talking about? From the path that you're on currently today, it's going to require you to swerve and serve. Some of you need a little dance in your step. Let's wrap this thing up. But I know it's hard, but if you could feel the urgency. If this house was getting ready to explode because somebody put a bomb in here, I would be doing everything I could to get you out, get you prepared for what God wants to do. And that would be to save you, in case you're wondering. The book of 1 Kings, if you can turn there with me, it's just a story that I want to hit, and we're going to close and we're going to go home. And I trust that I have not been offensive. That is not my heart. I'm telling you, we've got to get behind the vision. He's not looking for your ability to do those things. He's looking, will you be available to do those things? He'll work out the rest. Any of us that have been living by faith, all he's wanting is to know, are you available? He'll work out the rest. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 is a story you may have heard before. It said, so Elijah went from there, say there, and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Verse 20, Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said. Then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done for you? What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plow equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. What we need to see from this story is Elijah was the prophet. Elisha had a heart after God and wanted to do great things for God, but he was doing something that seemed very insignificant to that vision that God gave him. He's plowing with oxen, which puts him in close proximity to their rear. And how many knows, sometimes when you're in the rear, there's an odor or a fragrance. Sometimes God may put us in a place that doesn't smell very well, it doesn't look very well, and it's not a place we want to find ourselves. But see, God was preparing him for something greater. He was doing something of little significance. I believe that you've stopped by here today having pulled off the fast track of life, doing what in your eyes may have seemed to have little significance, totally unaware that behind the scenes God is working things. He had no idea that Elijah was moving from there to where he was. And the part that always got me about the story was all Elijah did was walked up and dropped his cloak on him and walked away. And Elisha almost, it was like somebody hit the lights and said, hold on, I'm coming with you. Just let me go back and kiss my family and wind up some loose ends. And he goes, dude, what have I done for you? Elijah didn't even know what he'd done. Why? Because Elisha was being prepared. But then when God said, it's now, he was ready. Are you ready? Are you available? Some of you have said, yes, I'm available to areas, but you haven't given all availability to everything. He doesn't want half of you. He doesn't want joint custody between you and the world. I don't know how else to be, but be real. God is conspiring even now for ways and things that he wants to do in your life. Listen, Elisha was chained to the plow. He was chained to it. So in case it got out of control, he was still connected. What are you connected to? What things are you trying? You're trying to control. What things in your life? What is the oxen? What is the yoke? Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody say, you're trying to be too hard. No, I'm trying. Sometimes because the walls and because the skin is so tough, sometimes the preacher has to be a little tough so we can get through that mess, so God can get to your heart, so he can apply and give you vision. You don't bust up when those guys are out there trying to lay new asphalt. You got to have a jackhammer. Why? Because over the course of time, it's gotten a hardness and a thickness. And you got to have something. And sometimes I feel like that's what we do as pastors. And sometimes as a pastor, God's having to do that to us. Because we get hard. Because we're like, well, God, why don't they get it? Availability. It says that he burned his plow. Why'd he do that? To ensure that he had nothing to go back to. Now, I'm not telling you need to go burn down your house. I'm not telling you need to go set somebody on fire. I'm just saying there's some areas in your life that you need to burn to the ground. There's some friendships, there's some relationships that don't line up with the Word of God, and you need to burn them down. What is your yoke? What are you connected to? What is your plow? What is the whole message today? Make yourself available to the vision that God has for this house. You may not get another opportunity to jump on board. Remember what I said about life or death? Everybody's standing in the room. In just a moment, I don't get to do this much, so Pastor Mike, you're here. We did this once before, and we're going to do it again. You come stand beside me down here holding that. I didn't even ask him, but this was so powerful. Back, I've never preached this message. That message is for this house. It's no for no other house. It's for everybody that showed up and made church a priority today. But as I was opening the book, just it sits right by my bed, and it fell out. Because there were some things in my life that I needed to burn up. As a pastor, there were some things that I needed to, in order for God to use me, and so that I could be released to come here, because I wasn't ready before January. I wasn't ready. But I struck a match at an altar, and I said, "This is a signal. This signifies it's burned up. It is no more." And I put it in a book. Because I wanted to always have it so that I could, on November whatever, 9th, God could remind me of where he brought me from. Because we easily let our minds go back to where we came from. But he wanted to say, oh, I'm aware of it, but do you remember what you said about it? And I remember praying prayers of, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. That's why when I say things that may seem hard, it's not me. I literally said, God, break my heart. I want to feel what you feel for people. Because if I can't feel it, it's just a show. We moved back having really no security of how it was going to work and the finances and all of that. Because we wanted to say, we don't know how, but we're going to make ourselves available. And today, God is saying, will you make yourself available? He's not asking you to move to another location. He's not. He needs you to be the power in the vision here. But just like for us, he wants to know, will you say, I am available? Whatever it costs. In order to be available, right behind that has to be hashtag whatever. Not a flippant whatever, but whatever you say. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Wherever, whatever, available. In just a moment, there's a song that ripped me, and we're done, that ripped me this week. I heard it a long time ago. It's a gospel song. It said, available to you. Available to you. And in just a moment, as this song plays, if you say, I'm not asking, do you want to be saved? We're going to get there. But if you're saying, you know what? I get it. I want to be available. I've already said I'm available. I'm an usher in the church, and I wipe Heinies back there, and I do this, and I help clean, and I do. But I'm saying available for whatever. The reward is going to be great when we look across that interstate. I mean, interstate. I don't know. Maybe they're going to be an interstate one day. When we look across that road and we see 20 acres and we see building after building after building, and we look and we just see cars lined up for miles trying to get to a place where they realize God can do this in my life. God can do things that should have never happened in a small town. God can do it in my life. They're not coming to hear a preacher. They're not coming to hear music. They're coming because they see, you know what? There's something that God did in a town that it should have never happened in. And if God can do that down here, God, you know what I need it to happen in my life. If God's going to do it. That's what's going to draw people. The lyrics of this song you're getting ready to hear, because you're not going to be, I believe you're going to be caught up in what's going to happen. What's going to happen is we're going to be standing here in just a moment, and I'm going to have a box of matches. And all you're going to do is you say, you know what, I want to be available, and there's some things. I'm not going to ask you what they are. It doesn't matter to me because it doesn't matter to God. If he doesn't care, I don't give a flip. There's too many nosy Christians that want to put that in the dialogue so they know and they can use it at a later date of your past. That's not here. We don't care. But what we're going to do is, in just a moment, when he plays it, in just a moment, you're going to come down and you're going to strike it, and I don't care, however long you stand there with it, and then you're going to blow it out. I want you to see whatever it is. You blow it. You're not going to blow it out. You're going to apply it to the crystal clear water. Okay? We're going to extinguish it. And then you're going to take that back, and I don't care if you tape it to your rearview mirror so that every single day when you look, because the enemy's going to wonder, did you really mean that? Are you really willing to give up that relationship? Are you really willing to go to hell because that, there it, he can't let 1 ounce of sin into heaven. It can't happen. We got to get it all worked out down here. Sorry. And I want you, whatever it is, God, I thank you that it's burning right now. It's gone. Burn it up. Why? So that I cannot return to it. And you put it somewhere to remember. Availability. You gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show him your love and your perfect plan. You gave me my ears. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners, but I can wipe away their tears. Verse 2, you gave me my voice to speak your word, to sing all your praises to those who've never heard. But with my eye, I can see a need for more availability. I've seen the hearts that have been broken, so many people to be free. We see them every day when we go to Walmart, people who are broken. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I do what you say do. Not what I say do, what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable time to say, my storage is empty and I'm available to you. Availability means there can be nothing left of you so that you can be completely consumed with him. Every head bowed. Father, today in this place, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it was received, and I thank you that it is pushing and it is moving people to a place to be in alignment with what you want for our lives individually and for your body. If there's anybody here today who says, you know what, I can't truly say that I'm available because I don't have a relationship, and I got to get that part first. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I've never accepted Jesus into my life. I've never made him my Lord. I've never said from this day forward, I will live for you. If you're here this morning, all I want to do is lead you in a prayer right where you stand. The rest of us are going to pray with you. If you're here this morning, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. If you're here and you say, you know what, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand in this room? That's one of the most courageous, one of the best decisions you've ever made in your life. Church, two people raised their hand. Their life is never going to be the same again. Let's repeat this prayer. Say, oh God, everybody in the house with those that raised their hand. Say, oh God, I come before you today confessing my sins. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I believe that your only son, Jesus, died for me on the cross. I believe that he went to the grave, conquering sin, conquering death, and conquering the devil. And now I'm now set free. Come into my life today. Clean out anything, everything, and whatever that doesn't glorify you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my deliverer. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. And from this day forward, I am available to you. As this song comes, and then we're done. There's no dragging it out. I just believe that the word was spoken, and you heard, and you're done. You're ready to let it burn. What just seems so simple? It's not simple to me. I remember us standing in the altar call in Georgia, and God led me to do this very thing. I've never duplicated this ever. This is the time number two, and I remember shaking because I could feel people going, I'm done. I'm done. Whatever it is, I'm done. I'm through. It's burning. I don't want it in my life anymore. If that's you, as the music softly plays, as that song plays loudly, yeah. I want you to come. You're just simply saying, God, I'm available. I'm available. I'm available.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.